Today's daf is daf lamed dalid. We're holding on the Mishnah on daf lamed gimel on the base. But before Sabah Josh does his brilliant introduction today, let's just remember that we just completed the sugya that we started, of course, as an aside. We went off something on a tangent because we got into the question of what would be if. Since these Mishnayot began with the question of, so what would be if he took them? Do we let them stay married, or do we make them get divorced? In cases where there's clearly Isurim that are involved, obviously we don't let them stay married. In most of these cases, they couldn't even be married because it's a karet. But what we did want to know is what would be the status vis-a-vis the number of korbanot you would have to bring, and the number of Isurim you were over, perhaps. And that was the Shaila of Isur Halal Isur. Now there, we brought it up purely as an aside. Lo and behold, as we've pointed out many times, actually, the Gemara always segues into the coming Mishnah, even though it appears when you're reading it that it's just a tangent from the previous discussion. Obviously, the Mishnayot were not arranged in tangential order, and therefore what appears to be a tangent often turns out to be the segue into the sugya that Rebbe was bringing up in the Seder HaMishnah. And indeed, this Mishnah, which we're about to begin, is now almost entirely a question of the Kiddush and the relationship of Yisr Chalal Yisr. And not only that, but it was done in a brilliant way to include all of the variations that we've discussed until now, which is Yisr Kolal, Yisr Mosif, Yisr Vatachar, and in the various shitas of Rebbe, of the arguments about what, between Bakapar and Rebbe Shia, what did Rebbe Shimon hold? What did Rebbe Yossi hold? This Mishnah basically has got it all and forces us to see how exactly we would deal with Yisr Chalal Yisr across the board. And now, Sabah Josh can give us his roaring
Zukta Heineken Mishnah.
Shnayim Shekitshu Shtei Nashim. Now, there's two men over here that they go ahead and they both are Mekadosh, two women, one apiece. They don't have to be brothers at this point. The women don't have to be sisters. It's just a regular case. And they go to the chuppah, they get their wives mixed up. A minor problem. Actually, the word yichlifu sounds like they decided at the last minute, maybe we ought to do it the other way around. Of course, they've already married these women to Kiddushin. That would not be a very good idea as far as the Torah is concerned. It would be called wife swapping. That's exactly what yichlifu means, swapping. So on the surface, it appears that they actually swapped. The Gemara is going to change the gears at the read Huchlufu, that the women became confused one with the other. Shalzele Zevet, Shalzele Zeh. So then each one of them, of course, is Chayev Mishrum Eshetish, would have to bring a carbon Mishrum Eshetish. Now how about if the two of them were brothers? If the two of them were brothers, besides the problem of Eshetish, they would also each one be over on Eshetach. How about if the two women were sisters? So then they would be over not only on Eshetish, Eshetach, but they'd also be over on Achot Ishto. And how about, so then they'd be over Mishum Mishal Achota? How about if both of these women were also Nidot? Then they'd also be over Mishum Nida? What do we do? Well, Mafrishinotan Shloshach Hodashim Shemim Uvarot. The first thing, we have to make sure they're not pregnant, because we need to distinguish between a Zera Kasher and a Zera Pasul. If they're pregnant from this original intercourse, which is an Erev, the children are Mamzer. So we need to make sure they're not pregnant. So we set them aside for 3 months, see if they're pregnant or not. If there are too young to be fertile, so then Marzirinotan Miyad, you give them back to their husbands. Obviously, we're talking about a case over here where nobody knew. I mean, that itself shows you you're going to have to change the gears, because otherwise it'd be Asurot. Vimayu Kohanot. If these two women were Kohanot, and they've been eating Truma, since over here they are now Zonot, because even though it was the Shogeg, but nonetheless, if she's Nivalot, someone that's Asurot, she comes to Zonaz, 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 from Achilles Truma, and therefore Nivsilumin are Truma, despite the fact that the whole thing might have been accidental. So first the Gemara says, Hichlifu, what do you swap their wives? Nidibri, she asked, I said, we have to create a case over here where we're talking about Rishayim, who go about wife swapping. I mean, we're not adding anything by talking about that case. I mean, if you want to tell me we're talking about Mason, what's the advantage about talking about Mason? The two, besides which, Rabbi Chiya points out, Harekan Sheshesre Chataot, that between the involved parties mentioned in this Mishnah, in the maximum case in which they were not only Eshet Ish, but they were also Eshet Achiv, and they were also Achot Ishar, and they were also Nidot, each one of the four people involved, the two men and the two women, would need to bring a Korban Chatas for each separate Isser. So you've got over here a story of 16 Chataot. This kind of hanky-panky can get very expensive. And if you're talking about now the mazid, well, then there's no carbon at all. You can't bring a carbon on a mazid, mika korban. Omer of Yudah, you're right. Tani hu chlafu. It certainly doesn't mean they swapped their wives. It means that they got mixed up. Through the Zochinami Mistava. It's got to mean that. Forget about Rabbi Chiya. Take a look at the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, V'ima yuktanot she'inan ruyot le'ilei. If these women were too young to become pregnant, so then, machziron tan miyad, you don't have a problem of bringing them back to their husbands immediately. But what do you mean back to their husbands? If you're talking about a mezid, they wouldn't be mutarot to their husbands anymore. The husband went ahead, gave her away to another guy to sleep with. That's a classic case of the same issue we have a marzik grushatoria, but it's so tach, it's a surelo. And therefore, how could it be giving her back? Must be because it's bishogeh, because he been mazed misharia. Would she be muteret? Says the Gemara, that doesn't prove anything. Halakasha, that doesn't prove anything, because a kitana, even if she was seduced, is the equivalent of a rape. Because her mind is not solid enough to be able to reject the seduction. So therefore, in her mind, what you do to her to seduce her is the equivalent of a physical rape of a gadola. And that's a brilliant, brilliant idea, by the way, that has many implications in modern law. So that the pitui katana is not considered to be a consensual relationship if one of the parties is not mature and cannot actually conclude that this is a relationship that they really want. And therefore, it would be considered a rape anyway. And a rape is muteris to her husband. Va'ones be Yisrael mishra sharia. To her husband, as long as it's not a kohen, she would still be muteris. So that doesn't prove that we have to be talking about shogun. Okay. Forget about that part. But didn't the Mishnah say, forget about the ketanas, talking about the gedolos who could get pregnant. So we're talking about keeping them for 3 months away from their husbands, because Shemamu Barotain, maybe they're pregnant. Okay, and if they're not pregnant, so you're setting them aside for 3 months. Okay, now they're not pregnant. Now what? Obviously, we do give them back to their husbands, right? So Imlomu Barot Sharian. How could they be mutarot for their husbands if this was, whole thing was done as a swap? Vibe Mazid Bishari. Elalav Shmamino Huchlefu. Therefore, clearly, anybody who reads this Mishnah doesn't have to be all that bright to figure out from the Braita, with the Chia, so just read the Mishnah, and you understand that we're talking about a case of Uchlafu, where it was B'shogeg, and not B'mezit Shmamina. By the way, there are questions about what would be if she is pregnant. The Gemara is saying over here, and if she's not pregnant, so then Mutar, and if she is pregnant, what's the problem? So here we get into another issue. If she is pregnant, the problem is that her real husband is not interested in investing his resources or his, I mean, like any biological species, the males will not protect the offspring of another male. So if she is pregnant and she now needs time for her pregnancy and her nursing, and he doesn't care about that. As far as he's concerned, she can get pregnant again. And let her lose her milk. If the kid dies, mato. It's not my kid anyway. So because of that, we never allow a woman who's in a position of pregnancy and requires another 24 months to wean her child to marry somebody else. So we're not going to allow her, according to those, we're not going to allow her to be involved with him either. Because he may end up causing her to destroy her child, Akifin, obviously. Okay, others learn we wouldn't be motzi for this. We only wouldn't allow her to be machmis. Wouldn't somebody be machmis, a woman who's currently taking care of someone else's child the first 24 months when we need the yinikah. But if they're already married, then we can't be medayit yet. Okay, in any event, This is also Nagia, by the way, how to understand Rashi, because Rashi learns the only reason that we made her wait 3 months. He says we make her wait 3 months only in order to know the difference between Zera Kosher and Zera Pas. If Lamaisa, there's another problem in pregnancy, which is this issue of that maybe he'll make the Uber, he'll destroy the Uber by not caring about intercourse, he'll destroy the Unica by not caring about additional pregnancies. So then we could have said that that's the problem, not only Lahaki. Yeah, but as I said, it's sort of meduyik over here. If they're not pregnant, so we're saying, okay, then they can go back. Okay, some learn that that is a problem, some learn that it's not a problem. The difference is obvious. To go and get yourself involved in another relationship while you're pregnant is clearly different from going back to a husband that you're already married to in a case where you might be pregnant because of the mix-up over here. In any event, let's continue. So now getting back to, believe it or not, getting back to our sugya, because we didn't even realize this was our sugya, and suddenly we discover, wow-wee, it was our sugya all along. Rebbe actually had this in mind. We were just basically preparing the minds of the Daf Yomi participants in what it was that was going on under the surface. And what's going on under the surface is we just introduced the Mishnah, which has all of the variations of Yisrael al Yisrael all wrapped up in one. Yisrael b'vasachas, Yisrael mosif, Yisrael kolil, mwah! Couldn't be better, sir. Oh, really? So man haitana, who is this marvelous Tana, who holds of all of the variations of Isser? He holds Isser Kolel, he holds Isser Mosif, he holds Isser Bavatachat. Good thing we gave us a couple of days to get used to this terminology. We haven't started all now, right? So all of it was sort of like the background to understand this vision. So who's this man Diyama? Because all of the variations are extant over here. In other words, we start off at the beginning, we have these two guys, brothers, we have Reuven and Shimon. So now Reuven goes ahead and he's Makadosh, this woman. Let's call her Rachel, just like the old times. So in that case, she now is also for two reasons on the other guy. She's also because of an Eishes Ish, she's also because of an Eishes Ach on Shimon, right? So that's Bevat Achat, and there we have our first variation. Now, here there's no problem. We said even only to Rabbi Shimon. We said yesterday it comes out that we hold a Yisrael al Yisrael. Fine. Now the other brother, Shimon, he goes ahead and he's Makadosh the other sister, Leah. Okay. Now that other sister anyway was also, right? He's going ahead now to be Makadosh Leah. But now since in this Kiddushin over here, he is going to now be over, this woman anyway was also to him, but he's now going to Aser by being Makadosh the sister, all the other sisters. And since he answers all of the other sisters, so he also, despite the fact that he was usher on this one anyway, is now going to be usher on her also because of the Achot Isha, even though he was already usher, because all of the Achot Isha are usher, right? So since other people become usher through this act, so too she becomes usher. What's that called? That's Kolel, right? The other sisters, or Kolel her in the Isser on them. Isser Mosif, when there's an Isser on her that now extends to others. Isser Kolel is when she becomes included in the Isser on other people. So over here we've got the classic sister case. The other sisters become Asurites because he now marries one of the sisters. Since the other sisters become Asurites, so too does the sister who was anyway Asur to him before as an Achot Isha and an Eshet Ish, as an Eshet Ach and an Eshet Ish. She also becomes now additionally an Achot Isha because all the other sisters are Achot Ishas. So now we have an Isser Kerlo for the third Isser. Okay. We now go ahead. So we've got our Isser Kerlo. Now, her husband, of course, first woman's husband, okay, Rachel's husband, Reuven, he's still allowed to be sleeping with his wife, I should hope. I mean, all seems to be perfectly in order until she becomes Anina. Uh-oh. So now that Isser Nidot Asered him too. Her own husband becomes Asered. That's an Isser Mosif. Since it was now Asered in terms of the husband because of the Nida, so now for Shimon, the brother, who anyway she was Asura for any number of reasons, she was Asura. She was an Achot Isha, and she was also his brother's wife, and she was also a married woman. I mean, you can't get more Asura than that. Want to bet? If she becomes Anita, since she became Asra on her husband, so now she's being Mosif Isurin on herself. Isurin that are strong enough to be more universal and to include even the person who was previously Mutter to her, namely her husband. So now she also becomes us because of that Isser on her brother-in-law, who now is going to be over on four separate Isserim if he sleeps with her. She's an Ashes Ish, who's an Ashes Achiv, who's an Achot Isha, who is a Nina. This is going to be one heck of an expensive relationship, let me tell you. So then we've got an obviously a Mandiyama who's got a hold of all of these because the Mishnah quotes them all. Now, who is that? Rav, it's Rabbi Meir. We know Rabbi Meir holds of all of the variations of Yitzchak HaLalitz. It's a time. Yesh ochel achilah achat v'chayav aleha arba chata'ot v'asham achat. You have a guy. Oh, man, you're talking about expense. It's not even all that much fun. Eat one kezias, you hear this? And you're going to have to bring four separate korban chatoses plus an asham of an asham mi'ilot. And here's how it goes. He's a tummy. And he goes ahead and he eats chalev. And this chalev was also nicer. But it was nicer because it was hegdash, obviously, so it's a minimum gedashin. And don't forget it was Yom Kippur. Oh boy, oh boy. So now he's going to be chayev for tuma, okay, because somebody eats kachem, but tuma's aguf. That's a fee of karet, so that's one korban chatas. Chalev is a fee of karet, even if it wouldn't have been kodesh. Stam chalev is a fee of karet. Notar is a fee of karet. Yom HaGipurim is a fee of karet. And since this was hegdash, he's also chayev on an asham mi'ilot. So Mimela Yitzchayev on four separate chataot and one asham. Rabbi Meir says, don't forget if it was Shabbos and he was carrying it while he was eating it. Tosfos says, what the heck? You might as well say, and don't forget that if at the same time he was also shooting something, I might as well, what does one have to do with the other? What do you mean he's carrying something? So Tosfos explains that it's only because it's an act of achila that he'd be chayev on the carrying. Because normally we would say that you require hanochov. Here a guy is walking, puts something into his mouth, swallows it. That swallowing is called hanochov only because it's achila. Otherwise we would say, look, I mean, the guy was walking before he's walking now. So it turns out it's the act of achila that's b'chayev him on hotzos. It's a unique case. So over here, he'd be chayev as well. If it were Shabbos, you say, well, I understand, but it's Yom Kippur anyway. Doesn't that mean that he's not allowed to carry for Yom Kippur? So one shot in the Gemara is, which the Gemara ends up being Doche and Krisis, but one shot in the Gemara is that maybe Rabbi Meir holds that there's no Din of Otsar in Yom Kippurim, because it's a Bach locus, whether it's an Isra Otsar or only all of the other Malachas. But the other Mandiyama says, no, maybe he's just adding as many possible Chiyuvim. I mean, you're looking to be Chayiv, let me tell you, it could also have been Shabbos. Okay, it's easier to understand the Gemara that it's both Shabbos and Yom Kippur, as we'll see. So that Mandiyama is Rabbi Meir then, because Rabbi Meir is saying now that he would be chayev on the swallowing also because of Hotzah. Omer le, eno min Hashem, no. Come on, man. No, that has nothing to do with eating. That's basic accident. I mean, it happens to be the act is the same act, but certainly, and that's not called Mishem Achila. So you did that's not fair. That doesn't count. Okay? So now let's assume for a moment that for Yom Kippur you would not have been chayev on Hotzah. We'll just go through it. So the animal now is born as a happy animal, not knowing anything about its destiny to be brought on the Mizbeach, okay? Grows up friskily in the fields. And at that point, as soon as it's born, it's already Osir, its chalev is already Osir Vachila. So it started off having chalev. Now we come along, and we now make it hegdash. So now that's the first tragedy, because until now, this poor animal was muteret, at least b'hana'ah, the chalev. Now that you made it hegdash, it's also going to be Osir b'hana'ah. Once it's Osir b'hana'ah, so it means we have a new Isser over here. So once it's Osir Ba'ano, als the Din of Hegdash, it also becomes Osir because of the Din of Hegdash, the Yisra Achila. It's not can't eat Hegdash. So you have right away an Yisra Achila. Okay. Now, it comes along and he leaves it over. Shechs it, leaves it over, it becomes Nosa. Once it becomes Nosa, it's going to be now Osir even to bring on the Mizbeach. Now, Achila's Mizbeach is also Osir. So that means that now there's an Isser Meisif also to the Kohen. That includes the Kohen, Mishum Gnosis. All Achila is also. Now, the guy becomes tummy. Until this point, the guy could have eaten things that were mutter to eat, even though it was hekesh. Now that it becomes tummy, the Tuma answers him from eating other pieces of hekesh. Oh, those are the other sisters. Since the other sisters are asr, so to speak, so too is this piece asr. So that's a classic case of Isser Kolo. So now we have a Kolo problem as well. So now we have Kolo and Mosif, very clearly, lots of cases. Okay, now, when it turns out to be Yom Kippur, it's the same thing. We're going to say, now that I, till now I could have eaten non-Kodesh meat, even though I was tummy. But now that it's Yom Kippur, I can't eat any meat. Now we got more sisters than we had before. So all of the meat in the world now, all the food in the world, becomes sisters to this piece of meat. Since I'm usher on those pieces, I'm kolel other things as well. Now, since Rabbi Meir holds that you're chayav also on Hotzah, because of Shabbos, he must hold the Bevat Achat. Because he's saying the moment that Yom Kippur was chal, also Shabbos was chal, because they happen at the same time. If Yom Kippur comes out on a Shabbos, so you see that you're chayav both for the Yisr of Achil of Yom Kippur, and you're also on the Yisr of Hotzah on Shabbos. Now, Tosu says that's ridiculous. He says, what do you mean? What does Yisr of Hotzah have to do with Bevat Achat? And it's two separate Yisr. It's not to mean if you hold this about Sacha. We're talking about two separate Yisurim, an Yisur of Achila and an Yisur of Hotzah. Why would you think for a moment, let's say you don't hold any, that Yisur of Atachas is Yisur Chal al-Yisur. The Yisur of Hotzah and Shabbos is dependent on the Yisur of Achila of Yom HaKippurim. That's crazy. Therefore, says Taisus, of course it can't be what the Gemara means. The Gemara is taking for granted that Rabbi Meir, it does hold that there's an Isser of Hotzah on Yom Kippur. And that the only reason that he brought up Shabbos is, as the Gemara says in Kritut, that he wants to add even more Isser, more Hivikatot. So let's try to see how many we can get all with one little swallow, right? Okay, so if that's the case, in terms of that Isser per se, there was already an Isser of Hotzah because it was Yom Kippur. How did there get to be an Isser of Hotzah at Shabbos too? The Shabbos Yom Kippur come out at the same time. So it comes out that the Yisr of Hotzah is now something that you require simultaneously. In which case, it must hold the Yisr of Atachat as well. Are we all on the same page here? I don't know how good it is for a Barnea to come in early. Dangerous. Right. Okay, so now we've got one Madiyom, who clearly holds of all of the options, all three types, Yisr Kolo, Yisr Meisif, and Yisr B'vat Achat. But we have another problem, and once we're already on this sugya, our other problem is that if the guy over here was going to get married, isn't it a mitzvah to get married? So if he mixes up which woman it is, isn't that a Tov B'dvar mitzvah? So a Tov B'dvar mitzvah is Potter, I thought. I mean, it's Machlokas exactly when, it was maybe it's only awesome mitzvahs. But over here, staying a woman to the chup. We know that there was about chupas between the two rabbeim of Rabbi Meir. There's Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. He learned by both of them. Who is he going like over here? Isn't it called a Torah B'dvar mitzvah to thinking that you're going to be Yotze a mitzvah? Look, we saw already a chasim potam, a kriyat shema, and so on. He's obviously Torah. So he's involved in this mitzvah. He got mixed up which women. No big deal. I mean, it's the same case basically as having a chiyuv of a bris milah. And getting mixed up, which baby? One of them was Sunday, one of them was for Shabbos. That's the whole machlokas. He thought he was doing a mitzvah, turned out he was mild the wrong child, and so on.
It's
so,
to live lower than Shogay?
Yeah, you're pater.
Because you're really
your svara, your svara is that you're doing a mitzvah. So that's like more of an onus type. Which just reminds me that I may not be here tomorrow. Because I may be going to my grandson's bris, but I just got a call on my way here that the boyal has the miles in the Pacific now if he can do the bris, which is not going to go, obviously, to wait around for a bris. So I'm only going to know this afternoon. But I made arrangements in case not that Rabbi Citron will be here in Mitzvah. So we'll see.
So what about Rafa
Lamb? Rav Meisher. So, who asks the Gemara? This is all very nice. Okay, Issachar, Issachar, understand. What about the other problem? Who does he hold like when it comes to the question of the Torah b'dmar mitzvah over here? So, ask the Gemara, v'Rabbi Meir Ali b'daman, according to which of his rabbeim was Rabbi Meir referring to? Was it Ali b'da Rabbi Yoshua? Problem is, Rabbi Yoshua holds Torah b'dmar mitzvah's potter. So, over here, why would he be chayav at all? I mean, we're saying that he's going to be chayav, like, in our Mishnah, it's going Ali b'da Rabbi Meir, and he's going to be chayav on every single one of these women. Why? Must be Ali b'da Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer indeed holds l'gabi the din of Mila, that if he didn't do the mitzvah, so that's not called the Torah b'dmar mitzvah, it's a problem. Well, you know what? No, wait a minute. Maybe he could be going to play to Rabbi Yeshua. Could be going to play to Rabbi Yeshua. But it's different. Because Rabbi Yeshua was talking, what was the classic case of Rabbi Yeshua? You made a mistake which baby you needed to be male, right? But Mila, I mean, you don't have much of a window to do Mila because you've got to get it done today and the male's got 50 other jobs. And as you know, it's a busy, busy day when it comes to Bris Mila. So the fact that he's got two babies to be male and that the male's driving him crazy, I got to get out of here in 15 minutes. Where's the baby already? And one baby has got a dirty diaper. The other one's ready to be brought in. And, yeah, okay, bring in that one. But Lamech turned out to be the wrong one. So over there, he's Bahu. And it makes much more sense that he would be Toher. I mean, if he's not sure about which women or whatever, wait until tomorrow. He will ask the doctor to get married today. Get married some other day. So what's there? So maybe Rabbi Yeshua only said a Torah b'dvar mitzvah's potter, hani mile b'tinokot. That's only when it comes legabe tinokot dismano bahul. Over there, he's like in a mad rush to get it done. Abol ha'it even ain't dismano bahulo. Over here, since it's not all that clear, I mean, he should have just waited. What's the rush? So maybe here, then indeed, Rabbi Meir would say, listen, of course I hold of Rabbi Yoshua, but Rabbi Yoshua doesn't apply to this case. Now, wait a minute. We know Rabbi Yoshua could not be focusing necessarily on the rush, because Rabbi Yoshua talks about another case where there is no rush, namely eating truma. In the case over there is a truma, the ein zmano bahul. Now, there's no pressure. Okay? It's a mitzvah. A Kohen is eating truma, and all of a sudden he finds out that he's a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. Boy, oh boy. Dad, you never said anything. Well. Okay. So Rabbi Eliezer holds, look, he's got to pay up. He's Chayiv and Karen Lechomish. He's a czar, basically, was eating truma. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, look, I mean, he thought he was doing a mitzvah. He's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah. What's the rush? I mean, let him get onto the website over there with the Muzan at Fritzot and look at that. We just gained a Levi and Shul that way, you know that. We gained a Levi. You're a Menachem Tzion. Every day was a big problem. There was no Levi. Just get back to Jaffe. Gets onto the website over there of the museum. And he suddenly discovers that he's a Levi. His father comes from Mishpachas Levi'im. All of a sudden, next time he gets an Aliyah, they try calling him up. As he was not a Levi. What are you talking about? Okay.
Upgrading.
Over here also. Okay. But let the guy wait. So he'll find out the next day. So apparently, Rabbi Yoshua holds at your potter, even though there's no rush. No. Itmar alomer beivoy by Rabaye. Alka betruma bera Pesach askina. What do you mean, no rush? It's Erev Pesach. All of his truma is going to be going down the drain. You have to make sure the truma isn't wasted. The guy's eating. He's eating. He's under a lot of pressure. He's eating under the whip. So over there, Zmana Ba'ul. You've got to finish. It's almost, oh my God, we only got another 3 minutes. So of course he's in a rush. And in that case, he's put there because he's a Torah b'dvar mitzvah in a case of Be'alah. But even the old Rabbi Yoshua over there, it's Be'ala. But you know, Kok, it's Be'ala. But the Chasana, it's not Be'ala.
Making the mission talk about a case where the Rebbe isn't kind of cruel to do, and it's no mitzvah.
It's still considered to be a mitzvah. Doesn't. Yeah, it's still a mitzvah. Viba is Ema. Or, you know what? Forget the whole thing. Maybe it's not Rebbe. You're right. Rebbe, forget the whole thing. Maybe this is going not like Rabbi Meir. It all works out. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Aha. Because wait a minute. How could it all be Bevat Achat? Some of it, I understand. The Yachot, the Eshet Ach. and the Eshet Ish. I understand that comes by definition, that comes at once. Good. But the rest of it, how's it? I mean, one of them had to be Mekadosh before the other, and what happened instantaneously, the Shels became an Achot Isha. And even if you'll explain how that could happen simultaneously, you're going to have a hard time making her a Nida simultaneously. How did that happen? So what happened over here? No. I'll show you. We can work it out. Now, it's talking about Isha Vatachar. It's not going on Libra Rabbi Meir that holds Kailal, Maisiv, Vasachas. No, only Vasachas. How is it Bevasachas? I can figure out how three out of the four can be Bevatachar. You'll ask me, how does, I understand, but both brothers can't get the women at exactly the same moment. Yes, they can. How? Suppose the two of them appoint an agent to do the Kedushin. And the two women, the same agent, the two women appoint, they're all saving money here, it's fantastic. The two women appoint the same agent who gives discounts for families. So the guy, they appoint the same agent to be Makabo the Kedushin. So at that moment, the same person is Makabo Kedushin and gives Kedushin instantaneously for two people. So the two agents meet and everything is boom. Right there on the spot, everything is Chal B'Vatachat. The two sisters are now also the two sister-in-laws, which make them also Eshet Ish B'Vatachat, Achot Ishto B'Vatachat, and Eshet Achi B'Vatachat. I can figure that out. That's only been Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't explain how they became Nidos B'Vatachat. That's going to be difficult. So over here they both appoint at the same agency. In those days, the agency wasn't a question of computer matchups. It was a question of being Melech and Mekabel Kedushin. Of course, they also probably carried the Gittin sack, but they kept it separate. I mean, in supermarkets, you can't even put diapers in the same section as you put the baby food anymore, because it has a subconscious effect. People don't buy the baby food. Wow. Very interesting, yeah. Wow. Something that has a bad tongue has a subconscious impact, it turns out. They've traced the evolutionary impact. Because that way, basically, it kept people away from germs. There were things that were ichy. All the things that are ichy are basically things that end up being contaminated. So that there was a biological mechanism that basically coded for disease, against to protect you from disease. So there were always people would keep away from ichy, whatever ichy is. You notice the ichy reaction, where you screw up your eyes and you stick out your tongue, actually protects you, it cleans you, protects you from germs, right? Keeps it away. You vomit it out. It keeps your eyes more shut. Things can't get in. Okay, so we have to keep the Gittin and the Kedushin separate. I understand it's not. But good, so they didn't maybe call it the same agency. But anyway, getting back to we don't need the business model right now. The point is, we're dealing with the Kedushin section. So that's all fine. But Nidas, and it's how in the world do they get the Nidos to come out at the same time? That's really difficult. I'll tell you what the story is over here. They were shofot mitoch yod gimel liyachu yod gimel lechiyuvi inhu mitoch shneimas alacha shneimas lechiyuvi inhi. Now, according to this girsa, we're going to have to say, this is how the Mishnah Lamelach is masbred alibid Rashi. Now, Tosfos has a different girsa with a different shot. But alibid Rashi, the point is over here, the two brothers are twins, and the two sisters are twins. They were both born on, both sets of twins were born on the same day, a year apart. So that on the day that the girls become 12, the boys become 13. So that we have godless now chal on both ends, and it's all going to be at the same time. Furthermore, Rashi, big pardon. At the same time they bring their 16 chata'ot, they can also have food to eat. So now, the question over here is that here's the big problem with Rashi, is we have to say that Rashi holds that a child who presents pubic signs the day before they are now Yud Gimel Shana V'Yom Echad, or Yud Beis Shana V'Yom Echad, it's not considered to be Shuma, which is just like a hair in a mole or something like that, which doesn't have a din of puberty. It's considered to be Nogea, already their goddess. That's A. So all that's missing here now is the Hashlama of the Yom. They have to wait till the end of the day in order to become Gedolim. That's called Mechusar Zman. But Mechusar Zman, according to Rashi, would be a godol insofar as his contracts are not considered to be a davar shelo bali olam. So if he creates now a contract with the agent, they are both sides create a contract. I mean, this is really a taste. Huh? Both sides create a contract with an agent the day after, the day of arriving at puberty biologically, two sets of twins, okay, and they both appoint the agencies. The agents meet now on the day in which they're becoming bar bat mitzvahs, in which case everything happens at once because the Kedushin is chal at the same moment that the Isser Nidais is chal on all four parties. At the instant they become Gedolim, everything happens at once because they were only Mechutzer Zman. So now they are Nidais, Eishes Achis, and Eishes Achers, Achros Ishas, and Eishes Ishas, and so on and so forth, all at once.
But as a leader, did they get?
The girls are the boys.
As a
katana,
she's not a
nida. No, she's a nida, but she's not a chayev. We're talking about, so where would she get a chiev? It has to be a chiev. Fine. So they all arrive at the same point. Now, there's many objections to Rashi's pshat for many reasons, making a lot of assumptions, and it's definitely weird. Okay. So the other rishonim have a different gersim, which instead of saying yud gimel after yud gimel, this whole piece over here. It shofot from before shalosh, liyafa shalosh. Not mi gimel, mi yud gimel, but mi gimel. And then, if it's mi gimel, we're talking about another thing. Because over there, bat shalosh now becomes ru'uya levia only at that point. The moment that it becomes ru'uya levia, you can't have an iser sleeping with a nida who does not have the ability to sleep with anyone. She doesn't have a vagina, so to speak, in terms of a pochus bibat shalosh. She's in a ruuya levia. So the first time she becomes asura in bia is when she becomes capable of bia. She has to be 3 years old. So therefore, that is chal only at the same moment of both of them. Okay, fine. In any event, let's stick with Rashi's pshat, even though it's strange. We'll take the Gemara Kipshuto that it really means 13 to 13, 12 to 12, and somehow a child was able to create an agent before they became completely a godol, because it's a Mechusar's Mons, it's a state of semi-godless that allows you to appoint an agent, and then it's only Chal at the moment of godless. Okay. Fine. The next thing that the Mishnah says, so in other words, what are we left with now? Two alternatives. Could be Rabbi Meir. And indeed, Rabbi Meir would have to be saying, well, as far as the Yisrael is, everything's fine, because I hold the Vasachas, Kevel, Meisiv. As far as the question of whether we're talking about over here, the other problem about a Torah with our mitzvah, okay, maybe an Echinami, that's be Dr. Rabbi Eliezer. Because apparently, according to Rabbi Yeshua, maybe it doesn't matter. Or we could say Rabbi Yeshua holds only if it's Bohut, it's not Bohut. Okay, so we have a number of different possibilities. We're maybe talking about not Rabbi Meir at all. It's talking about Rabbi Shimon. And we never even got into anything but Bavat Achat. And we had to sort of dray things around to create a case of Bavat Achat, which anyway, remember, even when we mean it as a dray, as we saw earlier, we had a beautiful example yesterday of this, the same case can be construed in different ways. Remember, yesterday we had the same case, which we could match up three ways or two ways. So if we talked about the case in two ways and we left out the case of the Nevela and the Malika, then the assumption was that it was construed as one after the other. If we spoke about three cases that included the Zara was eating Malika, then we understood that no, all three must be talking about another construct, which was Bevat Achat. The same thing is true over here. Obviously the Mishnah is so valid. Different possibilities. The Mishnah is meant, as I've pointed out many times, is meant to be so valid. The Gemara says the Rebbe included in every Mishnah at least 13 different possibilities, one of which he had forgotten his approach. Remember, there was the washerman that had been listening, he remembered and brought it all back to him. But in any event, the fact that we could have a construct that's weird is not a problem in a Mishnah that has many different levels of interpretation. You're telling me you don't want to have an absolute proof that a Libet or Rebbe Meir we'd have to reject. Either reject Rabbi Yoshua or be machalik and Rabbi Yoshua, but you're a makom bohul and not a makom bohul. Okay, maybe, but maybe not. So So the maybes are part of what we want to do with our Mishnayos. Remember, we're looking for the opposite of clarity. We don't want clarity in Mishnayos. Because the whole point of a Mishnah is to maintain multiple possibilities at all times, so that we should not be over creating a Torah that's written in stone. The Torah is not meant to be written in stone. It's meant to be fluid. Because it's Torah Shabbat Peh. The more coexisting universes we could have, the better the construction of a Mishnah is. And that accounts for a lot of the strangeness you find in Mishnayos. Strange choices of words, creating things that are weird constructs, all because I don't want to be limited. You want to try to pin me down and say, but don't we see from the... No, no, we don't see. Go bring me proof. Maybe it's talking about a crazy case where this both born... What do you mean? Why not? Can you prove it's not a crazy case? No, you can't prove it, then don't try to bring me proof. That's all. So since we're looking for an absolute, we try to keep things as relative as possible in order to avoid your absolute proofs. So that shouldn't bother us at all. On the contrary, it's a sign of the immense sophistication of the levels of the Mishnayos that we're allowed to discover possibilities. And those possibilities keep us from making assumptions that are absolute assumptions. So the next piece in the Mishnah says, Mafrishinotam, we take her away for 3 months. Asks the Gemara, but why do we need to worry? I mean, aren't we assuming that these were nice little girls that were not sleeping around before they're married, and over the year, I mean, we're assuming that these were good little boys, and they were waiting until they went to the wedding, and certainly this is the first time that they've ever had any kind of relations on either. I mean, the women have never slept with anybody, so how are we worried about them getting pregnant? They only had this one evening together. Would they get pregnant from one evening? Don't we normally assume that a woman does not get pregnant as a virgin from her first bia because of the fact that it's difficult, because penetration is difficult, and there's really a lot of bleeding that's going to wash out the semen. It's very, very unlikely that she, doesn't mean impossible, but it's very unlikely that she would get pregnant, and because of that, we shouldn't have to worry about it. Well, listen, these guys are youngsters. I mean, we said they only slept together once. I mean, so we're concerned that they maybe had multiple intercourses, and because of that, maybe she got pregnant.
Same night.
Well, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya says that you get over here a list of 16 chataot, right? But now that you're telling me, we're assuming, or maybe that we know the cases that they had multiple bias, so that you should be chayav 32 chata'or, because you should be chayav on every one of them, because we just got finished saying earlier that the Mishnah is going, I'll leave it to Eliezer, possibly, but certainly according to him, the din is that separate acts are makalik a different chata'ot, even though you know about it. So that means according to him, you're chayav on each bia individually. So how can you say it's talking about that they slept together twice? Oh, come on. That's the problem? Let's say I never said it, okay? I didn't say it. They didn't sleep together twice. No. According to Reb Eliezer, now you're happy? You still can't be happy. Because according to Reb Eliezer, you don't even need to have separate acts of intercourse. Every thrust, according to Reb Eliezer, is a separate chiyuv. Because since you don't need a yediyah, an act of bia. Why is an act of bia? What defines an act of bia? So an act of bia is one act of pleasure from an erebus. It means on every thrust you would be chayav. So according to him, you're mechayav al kol koach v'koach. So what are we going to do? We should have a thrust meter. I mean, let's be mechayav him on every single one now of his thrusts too. So elamah, what are you going to say? It's a tuva havim. So who knows? Who knows how many of them there are over here? Ella, obviously, we're not interested in getting into the gory details. Because we're talking about, look, I mean, maybe there's more, but Rabbi Chiya is saying, look, in terms of the Yisurim that are involved, four people, being over four Yisurim, we're talking about 16 chata'ot. You want to start adding up the details, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So go use your own brains, but I'm just pointing out to you that the way that we've created the case over here, but this is Chalal Isser, none of the cases are excluded, because they're either kodol, mosif, or bevatachas, or they're all bevatachas, but certainly there's not a problem. So we're talking about Koach Rishon. So the same thing. Even if I'm saying we have to worry she got pregnant, it's only because there were two separate B'yos. I'm not talking about B'yos Rishon. Don't ask me that question. That's not a problem. Amar Rav Elul Nachman. But Tamar the B'yos Rishon Iyab. Now wait a minute. Didn't Tamar get pregnant from Yehuda the first time? Now, everyone's going to ask later on, what do you mean? She's married to two other guys. Okay, we'll get to that. But didn't Tamar get pregnant first time? Tamar be'etzba miyacha. Tamar actually physically removed her basulin because she knew she only had this one chance and she wanted to get pregnant. That was the whole idea. So she was able to catch Yehuda unawares, she needed to get pregnant from him. So she removed her psulin with her finger and went, basically operated on herself. And because of that, she was able to get pregnant right away. And in fact, Rabbi Yitzchak points out that kol mu'uchot shel beit Revi tamar shema. You'll notice some have a gear sabir shel beit David. And what happened over here is that there were people that, if you're a beit David, it's because of the tzarchei hamalchus, who would basically get home once a year, whatever it was. These guys were like very heavily involved either in war efforts, government efforts. They rarely were able to spend time with their wives. And because these women wanted to get pregnant right away, so they would all take out their psulim. Oh, Shiloh here, why wouldn't she lose then time out psulim? Why wouldn't her husband have a libo marcho? Some say she had to prove that she took it. Whatever, that's not our problem right now. They would, all these women, they would call them Tamar. Why would they call them Tamar? Al shem Tamar shemiyacha be'etzba'a. Because this is not a simple thing to do and not a pleasant thing to do. And it shows us the incredible level of commitment to reproduction that they had, not only to reproduction, but the commitment to getting involved in a relationship that was so problematic and so hard that who knows when we will get a chance to get pregnant. Maybe this is our only chance. They're marrying a soldier. Soldiers going off to war. So it gives you a tremendous sense of a level of commitment that they had to this relationship. It's important, and therefore, even though it's disgusting and it's hard and it's painful, I need to do this to help my increase my chances. So they would call them, because of the madrega of Tamar, who ended up giving birth to David in the first place, and this was the other gears of Beis David. We have, of course, Rebbe was also from Beis David, so it could be boiled down to the same thing. So because of the tzitkis of Tamar, they used to call these women the Tamars. So they would give her a name, Tamar. Lomanik Meshavan Tamar. Al Shem Tamar, again, it's very important to remember that our Western values are extremely disruptive to our perception of what is good and what is bad. We have so many Christian connections to sexual issues that to us, for people to talk about such things, to change the name of a woman, to talk about the chashivas that she had, such things is nauseating. But that's because, as the Rambam says in the Mir Nevuchim, you're not thinking as Jews, you're responding culturally as Arabs. He speaks to his daughter. You don't know how to think as a Jew. You don't have a system of values of a Jew. The Gemara system of values, the entire system of values, is so utterly, lo machshavotai machshavotechem, that people whose entire vision in life is the reality of it, the shem shamayim of it, the achievement in terms of the whole sefer ma'aseh bereishis, have none of these attendant absurdities when it comes to issues that are involved in reproduction. They just don't feel any of these things. So, of course, this becomes now a ma'aseh that should be mefursam and that people should respect. Now, ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. Tamar, why did she need to be miyacha be'etzba'a? She was married twice already because of Aaron Onan. No. Aaron Onan never slept with their wives, or at least with Tamar, vaginal. Was always shalokadar. Why? We'll see. Meisve. Kol hasrim arba chodesh dashmi b'fnim v'zarev b'chutz divir b'liezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, a person now who is married to a woman who is nursing and has to be careful not to impregnate her should basically practice coitus interruptus. So he should be dashmi bifnim, and then he should ejaculate outside and make sure that she doesn't get pregnant. Amru lo, so the Chachamim said, what do you mean? The Torah doesn't like that. Halolo, hinelu kamaaseh ervo onan. Isn't that what Erva Onan did? Now, according to what you're saying, Erva Onan didn't do that. They had only anal intercourse. It was Bir Shaloka Dark. I mean, we're not here. He's not saying that. He's just saying make sure she doesn't get pregnant. So yeah, apparently, that this is wrong. Apparently, Erva Onan really did have normal bias. The only problem was is that they were Mashkit Zaram. Says the Gemara, they don't mean literally mas. It's kimas Erev Onan. It's saying it's like Erev Onan. It's a type of onanism, basically, because you're not involved in reproduction. You're just involved in having fun. So basically, I mean, Mashkin Zaro, for them, Enochinami, it was Bia Shaloka Darka all the time. But, and this way mostly. And that was the meaning of the Tishachis Arts. But again, if you don't learn that way, you have a problem in the Gemara, as we'll see. But it's like Erev Onan, but it's not literally. Oh, it's Kimas Erev Onan, but it's not literally. Kimas Erev Onan dechtiva ya imba eleshet achiv v'shichet arza. So the Torah says that he spilled his seed, but it's not literally Kimas Erev Onan. Diluhatav shalo kedarka v'ach kedarka. Over there, bechlal, he didn't want to take any chances at all. So over there, he actually didn't even bala kedarka. So just spilled his seed because, by definition, if you refuse to ever have normal intercourse, then that means you're committed to spilling your seed and not really to using it. Mashenkin, over here, if we were saying that you have to make sure your wife doesn't get pregnant, you're willing to take a little chance, but you certainly don't want to ejaculate internally. That's like baservona. That's all. But Lamaisa Tamar was completely a virgin. So how do we know, by the way? This is Onan, I understand. Mishlema Onan. It says Beferish Onan. I mean, he gives his name to Onanism Bechlal. So Onan is Vishichet Arza. But Er, who said that Er had never slept with Tamar? Maybe he never got to impregnate her. But who's to say that he also was Vishichet Arza, that you're calling, putting him in the same words, Er of Onan? Omer Nachman Yitzchak, Dichtiv Ayomet Gam Oto. Why is it Gamoto? It's a Vayometoto. I mean, there's the problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like Vashichet Arza, so the guy died. But why does it say he also died? Must be because they both died from the same Siba. Afubo Tamita Beit. He too died from the same Siba, in that he was Mashkit Zaro. So, Er did too. That's why we're calling Onan the same. He's the same as Er. So Bishlema Onan, I know why Onan didn't want to give his Zera. That's because Mishum Lolo Yazara. He did not want to impregnate a woman for his brother. He wants his own child. Huh? He didn't want to do Yima. Yeah. He wanted the good parts and not the tough parts. But Er, I mean, what this is Er's wife. Before Er died, I mean, he was still married to Tamar. My time of Adachi, so why did he not want her there to get pregnant? Why was he spilling his seed? She's so beautiful, you want to wreck her figure. So the male wanted to make sure she never got pregnant. Yeah. Tana Rabbana. Now here we have an amazing sukkah. It says over there, isha asher yishkav ish ota shichvat zara. So then she becomes tummy. Rochatsubamayim. So then there's a tuma. Now that tuma is not to be confused with the tuma of semen. It's not connected at all. Or at least not connected to the din of maga in any event. Because there's no, first of all, there's no maga, there's no internal maga that would be mitami and isha because of shechva zera. So that's not the issue. Torah gives a new tuma, which is the tuma of the maisa bia itself. And it says over there, so yisha asher yishkav ish ota. It's mean ota. Ota is prat lekala. Rabbi Yehuda says that means that a kala does not require tvila because of the fact that she was nivelet. Weird. So though she's allowed to continue to eating truma, whatever it is, she's got no problem. She does not become tamea from the intercourse per se. Obviously, if she touched anything, we've been talking about that's something else. But from the act of intercourse, she's not tamea. So that's now one approach. From the first bia, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. For chachamim omrim, no, it doesn't mean that. It means prat the shalokidarka, that if there wasn't any real normal bia, but there was bia shelo kedargan, it's not matami. That's ota, the way she is meant to be nivelled. Omar lehon, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, hon, Rav Nachman's son, es Rav Nachman. I said, is Rav Yehuda saying that the Torah, it feels terrible for this poor Kala who just spent 3,000 shekel on getting her face done up and now has to go to the mikveh and has to wash everything off. It's outrageous. So the Torah said, okay, we'll let her off the first time, Mela, you know. I mean, we wouldn't want her to go through all of that again. She just spent half the day getting ready for the wedding. It's terrible. It's so maybe that's a Torah. What are you just saying? What is this? Out of the blue? A Kala doesn't have to go to the mikveh. It's crazy. And the shot is, the Torah must really not want her to waste her money on all of that facial stuff. So Mamela, okay, let's give a special kula to a Kala. what other sense does this make? Oh, my, come on. I mean, there is sense to it. Because the point over here is, it says, Asher Yishkav Ishota Shechvat Zar. Point is, we're talking about intercourse that's part of reproduction. That we're talking about ultimately Shechvat Zara, that which could lead to children. But if this is a bia that can't lead to children, since she's not, or normally won't lead to children, since Eini Shah Mit Aberet Mi Bia Rishona, therefore the Torah excluded it. That's the point. Not Tom. Let's not go over to the conservatives over here, you know.
You see why Yom Kippur Kala Dafka wants to wash her face.
You see that she should wash her face.
Yeah, that's, you're saying it's
right,
not
that's,
to wash
that's her face. Not to wash off her. That face you don't wash. So the Chachamim say it's Pratcha Lo Kedar. Okay, so by my community, what Lamaisa are they arguing about over here? And how to darshan the Pasuk Ashkav Ish Otash Shechvat Zara? What are they arguing about? So Rabbanan Safra, look, the word in the pasuk that says Shechvat Zara, what does that mean? Asher Yishkav Ota Shechvat Zara, that's to tell me Prat Leha'aro. And Uso is Prat Shalok Kedark. Shechvat Zara means that there has to be a Gemar Bia, and as my focus over here, many understand Rashi means Kipshutai, that hara in this case means insertion without ejaculation. So shechvat zara is ejaculation, and therefore it's saying that less than that isn't enough. Normally, hara refers to a tiny insertion. Here the question is, and the other Rishonim argue, if Rashi really means shelo yizriya, some learning doesn't mean literally shelo yizriya, but that he didn't really complete a thrust. It was a normal hazra, what we're talking about over here. We're not talking about premature ejaculation. Person penetrated, and then he stops. So at that point, he were calling that also shechvat zara. Okay, but whatever it means. And when it says ota, it's prat l'shelo kedarka. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no. Shelo kedarka is also excluded from shechvat zara, right? So both shelo kedarka and hara is Mishikhla Zora enough. And that doesn't, this is not the place where you would normally reproduce. That's the pshat. So if that's the case, we exclude both of these from Shikhla Zora. So then why are we mentioning Asher Yishkav Ish Ota? Ota means her as opposed to someone else. Understand? There's no third sex. I mean, you're talking about women. So what woman are we not going to be Metame? Must be Prat L'Kala. And therefore, it's adding a new level of the potentiality of reproduction. So if she's a Kala, and this is not normally the way that she would become pregnant, so then even Kedarka gets a din of Shalom Kedarka. That would be the Chenala. When you see it in that sense, it's not so far-fetched. Makes sense now. Ki yasa Ravin Amrav Yochanan, ko sheshata achar ba'ala, eser shanim v'niseit, shuvena yoledet. A woman who was married, and now it's 10 years since she lost her husband. If she hasn't had any type of stimulation during those 10 years, then she basically loses her hormonal reproductive capacity. Just simply at the, you know, it's the biological clock. So if they get married, this is not true. A woman who gets married is able to maintain her fertility longer, and a woman who ends up not getting married, so she loses her fertility. So in this case, she would not have a child. So that you have to know that there would be, again, the question, you have to wonder whether she's pregnant or not pregnant. This is only if she's not sexually stimulated. Now, she may be stimulated through fantasies. But the point is, if she desires to get married, so she's basically still keeping herself active, even if she's not physically active, but she's hormonally active, so then, if she all along intended to get remarried, and she's focused on somebody, then she could maintain her fertility. Now, we know Rava married Chista's daughter, and this was after Rami Bar Chama had died. Right? So, and this is 10 years later, and she's having children. So Rava says to his wife, you know, people are talking about you, baby, because they're wondering how you're getting pregnant. What were you doing during those 10 years? So she says, come around in Rabbanu Nabasik, all the boys in the yeshiva are talking about you. So she said, I was fantasizing about you the whole time. I always dreamt of you. This is an incredible story that's much more meaningful than it appears on the surface. Because what happened was, Reb Chista was once, he was playing with his daughter, right? And he had Rami Bar Chama and Rava were in the room. So he says to his little girl, he says, so which one would you like as a husband? So she says, both. So Rava says, I'm second.
So,
and that's exactly what happened. So it was basically a Nevi'ah Ketana that she understood she's going to be married to both. It was Peledic story. So she said she's going to be married to both of them. So she understood that it can't be coincidence that she ended up marrying one of them. Then he died. The other one's waiting, not married. It's going to happen. The question is when. It's just a matter of timing. So just what she's saying to him, that's dumb. She happened to pick up on Rava. She felt Mishay, she's made voracious. Bashar, the ultimate Bashar. It's a beautiful story. So she said, I was always thinking about you. Okay, a question. Logistics sometimes don't work with Nevi'ahs. Speaking of Nevi'ahs, a goy put out a book, somebody just showed me, amazing. He's bringing the greatest riot to Nevi'ahs. Is the Nevi'ahs, it's a Christian Bible guy. This is the greatest riot to Nevi'ahs is what the Torah writes about Ishmael. Because as you look across the globe, how is it possible that a civilization should be this idea? Yodo Bakova Yaakov remains a para adam. It is an amazing. This is 150 years ago. The book was originally put out. It's from before the Civil War. It's even more, right? From before the Civil War. So this guy says, "How does it? It's not a modern, you know, way we look at the Arabs." He's saying it's incredible. The rest of the world progresses. The rest of the world changes. So he says, okay, there's civilizations. Don't come in contact. So it's not Bein Acheha. These guys, they live in the middle of civilization for centuries and centuries. And look at them. There's brief periods in which, and they go back to being para adams. How is that possible that someone, biggest riot to them is.
Okay.
And the oil, that's a pellet. The oil thing that they were shown and talk about. It.
The Europeans
it's a different
thing.
They grew up. But the rem is in the Targum. And it's Al Yaday, the oil in the ground. So anyway, Ahuda, so the commentary of Yosef, So there was a woman that came in front of Rabbi Yosef, and there was a whole problem about she had been 10 years without her husband, and they were saying she wasn't going to get pregnant. They were telling the person he can't marry her unless he has other children. It was becoming pretty rare. Anyway, so she comes into Rabbi Yosef and she says, meaning I got pregnant. Shehiti Akabali as a Shani, and I got pregnant. So you guys with your big halachas, you don't know what you're talking about. Omar Law, so he says to her, listen, do me a favor. Whatever you want to say to me, but Biti, Al Totzi Laza de Rechachamim. Tell me the truth. Because people are going to say, oh, see? We have experimental proof, and Chacham don't know what they're talking about. All right, she said, it was the mailman. All these years. Lenachri Nivalti. Omar Shmuel, the Kulan Tzichot Lampin Shlosha Chodashim. All women that were nivalu need to wait 3 months to see if they are pregnant. Chutz megiyoret u'mishuchrer ktana, unless she is a giyoret or a mishuchreret who is now a ketana, because then we don't have to worry that she's pregnant. But the mashmaut is, but if she was a bas yisrael, it was a ketana, then tzricha lamtin shlosha chodashim. Then she would need to wait for 3 months. So what's the case? How exactly did she find herself now in a position of needing to wait? She originally, what, was she a rape victim? Was she married to somebody she got a get? Was she married as a ketana, meaning as a yesema, or a real yesema, or a halachic yesema, and then she went out b'miyan? If it's talking about b'miyun, amar Shmuel lo boy. Shmuel says, as we'll see, that she does not need to wait because the only reason that you force a ketana, a yisrael, to wait is because of a gzeira that people get mixed up between a ketana and a gedela. But when it comes to miyun, there's no similar state to a gedela. Therefore, we don't have to worry about that. So if she was yotzeis b'miyun, it's a bad definition. She was a ketana, everybody knows. Well, what is she married? Nah. She just said she doesn't like the guy. Well, she was a kid still. So understand that, okay, there we don't worry about it. So that is not a problem. If the case over here is that she was married, meaning that her father had been Mekabel Kedushin, she was a ketana, she was really married, and now she was Yotze Beget, Shmuel already said this separately. What's the point of repeating it over here for Kulam Sichot?
Also a ketana.
Omer Shmuel Chodazina. The Omer Shmuel, Mienabo, if she went out from her first husband through Miyun, she doesn't need to wait 3 months. But Natan Laget, there Tzricha Lamtin Shlosha Chodashim. Ella, the case of here is Biznut. She was pregnant, maybe, because not from a marriage at all, but she was raped. The Gozer of Onikitana Mishum Gedola. And we went ahead and we made a Gezerah. So by a Giyoret Ketana, we didn't make a Gezerah, because how often do you get a Giyoret as a Ketana? So we don't make Gezerahs in cases that are not common, but in a case where there's a mistake, easy to make this mistake between a Ketana and Gedela, we made the Gezerah. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? The Mishnah says we don't make a Gezerah, you say we make a Gezerah. The Mishnah says, that if, in the case that we had in our Mishnah, she was a ketana, in the case where they mixed up their wives, so then she goes directly to her husband, we're not concerned that they got pregnant. I thought we'd make a gezeira ketana to gedela. Come on. Amar Rav Gidla Amar Rav. What do you mean? It was a harasha, that maisa. What? A rasha? What do you mean? It was really such a maisa, and they made a special rasha. Where was there such a maisa? What do you mean? Mechlal shaita, mechlal da'avoy. It was really such a case. And we're just talking about theory over here. It's not telling you that there's really such a case. It says shnayim shekitchu. It doesn't say maisa hoya de. Shnayim shekitchu is just a case. No, I mean Amar Gil Amar Rav. I mean that the idea over here is that it's kiharasha, it's like a rasha, because chiluf lo shchicha. It's like it's a kind of thing that happens once in a yovel. how often is such a thing going to happen? So you're going to ask me a kasha. The same way that was said by the Giyoret and the Meshuchareret. So they say, it's exactly the same thing over here. How, why don't we make a gzeira in a case of a chiluf? Like every other week we get a case where two guys were married to two women under the same chuppah, yet we say, come on. This the case never happens. So of course we're not going to be geiz or ketana or to gedela in such a case.